Well, do please keep your Bibles open at Mark's Gospel, and let's look together at what the Lord has ordained should be written down for us. The hand of Mark, who we believe to be a relative of Simon Peter, the witness of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you're ready to hear the message. It's a big week in the life of the church, and I don't feel ready for tomorrow. In truth, I last wore my Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean costume 5 years ago. Was it 6 years ago? It's still in the wardrobe, and I'm 7 years ago. Oh dear. I'm prayerfully hoping I can still get it on when I get it out this evening. That's a little bit amusing, but are you ready? Is a big question. What about this? Did you see the story this week about the teenager Jordan, who was pushed off this bridge, Moulton Falls Bridge in Washington, into the Lewis River? A very interesting case, really, when you look into the details. Horrible, you might say, and yes, it is. She has some very nasty injuries. 5 broken ribs, very nasty bruising, other internal injuries. But jumping into water from high points can be a lot of fun. And you can pay to go on holiday and do it. And this is what the group of people had gone out to do. And they were seemingly enjoying it up to this point. If you know what you're doing, if you have an instructor with you and you know the piece of water, it's a different thing. If you know how to enter water from a height, it's a very different thing. But the reason this case is relevant to today is twofold. Firstly, there's a question of being ready for something, and secondly, the question of forgiveness. Was this young lady ready? She was in a swimming costume, as were the others. She'd climbed over the parapet of the bridge and was stood on the edge, ready to jump, as the others had done. But then she was pushed. The person who pushed her certainly thought she was ready, but she was saying she wasn't. And what about forgiveness? Apparently, the person who pushed her has said sorry, but that sorry has not conveyed a true sense of regret. Apparently, I wouldn't have done it if I'd known what would happen, has not conveyed the sense of I regret absolutely my foolish actions. And these are the questions we're dealing with today. What is this forgiveness that the Bible talks so much about, and are we ready to engage with it? We'll look first at what John is doing and saying, and then at whether or not we're ready. So there are two big headings. So let's look at what John is doing and saying. The first thing that John is saying, very clearly, as it's recorded for us here by Mark, the first thing Mark wants us to know is that the promise is fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled. Verses 2 and 3 are all about the fulfillment of promise. John quotes Isaiah and Malachi. It's not uncommon just to quote the more senior prophet when you say that, so he's not leading us astray. The first verse is probably Malachi. The second is definitely Isaiah. And what is happening is he's making it so much more than a quote. We are in the wilderness, as John says it. He ties these things together. He is the messenger who has been appointed. He is the one preparing the way. He's actually not just saying, I'm quoting this, you know this bit of history, folks. He's actually doing that bit of history. Because actually, although the words were written down all those years ago, they're not history. They are prophecy. They are a prediction of what will happen. God is saying, one day a messenger will come in the wilderness and say, well, what will he say? Prepare the way. In other words, are you ready? So John is saying and doing the promise. Even as he quotes the promise, he is fulfilling the promise. Just a thought to those of us who are part of the church today. Do we see ourselves in that light? Because we have a ministry not unlike John's. We are not only those who say the promise, we need to be those who do the promise. We can't proclaim grace with a hard word and a fist banging on the door. We have to knock politely and speak graciously at the same time. Well, secondly, we read not just that the promise is fulfilled, but also we read that John is saying the Messiah is come. We'll find this, verses 4, verses 7, verses 8. The Messiah is here. John very much points to one beyond himself, someone greater than himself. And that is the whole concept of Messiah to God's Old Testament people. And John was unique enough. You did catch that, didn't you? The whole district had gone to see him. Can you imagine if somebody made the news and suddenly the whole of Tendring disappeared to go and see him? You know, that's everybody. You know, the villages are empty. There was a market on Saturday and nobody was there, not even the storekeepers. Because everybody wanted to go and see. Now, John is unique enough. John is newsworthy enough. But he proclaims not himself, but someone greater is come, is about to be revealed before you. We can use both come and coming, because Jesus was here and John knew him. They were cousins. But Jesus hadn't been revealed into his ministry, and certainly not into his full glory. That was yet to come. Think about all the human greats we hear about. Don't they normally proclaim themselves or their team, or very occasionally their country? John says someone else is coming from outside of this world, from beyond me, from the days of promise long past. It's not unheard of for one in our day to proclaim someone else, but John goes so much further. And to the original hearers, to the Jewish people, the Israelites of that day, John proclaims the Lord is coming. Look at verse 3. Prepare the way for the Lord. Now that's a God word. He proclaims the forgiveness of sins in verse 4. He says, I'm not worthy to undo the sandals of this one in verse 7. He says this one will bring God the Holy Spirit and his gifts to you. John is speaking not just of someone else, but a whole step up. He's talking about God coming. Now, I can't take the time to expand all those details this morning. I'd love to if you want to talk about it afterwards. But basically, John is saying the Jewish Messiah is coming. The long promised fulfillment of prophecy. God himself, great David's greater son, the bringer of peace, the provider of forgiveness, the one who makes us right with God is coming. And John says, he's here, I've seen him, get ready to meet him. So the promise is fulfilled, the Messiah is come, forgiveness is possible. Verse 1, gospel, good news. That was the good news that the Jewish people were waiting for. Verse 4, it is for the forgiveness of sins. It is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's the symbol that John baptizes people into. Baptism in those days is a symbol. It's a symbol of preparedness. It's a symbol of readiness. It's a symbol of having done everything that God requires of you. Now I am ready to serve you, Lord. That's what it meant. Baptism was used as a ritual washing at key moments before the high priest did something in the temple, and at key moments after something had happened, that you were ritually unclean and you'd made yourself clean, and then you might also show that with the symbol of baptism. I'm now ready. And in this case, John's baptism is forgiveness is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? It's a central thought for the Israelite. All their ceremonies are geared towards being right with God through the forgiveness of sins. That's their whole history. If you want to unwrap their history, you follow the scarlet thread of redemption from the beginning of the Bible all the way through. Let me walk back from this day. It's in the prophets. We've just read it. He's coming. It precedes the prophets. It goes back to King David and the Psalms, being in the land, where God has appointed his people to be. It's there with Moses in the wilderness. The tabernacle was given and the appointed sacrifice. It's there with the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They built altars in the land. It's there with Noah before and after the flood. The sacrifices that Noah makes before and after the flood mark the ends. It goes all the way back to Adam. When God showed fallen mankind what was going to be involved in making things right again. When Adam in his grief and Eve with him finally come out and face God, the great question in their minds is, how can God forgive me for what has happened? And God slays an animal because the penalty for sin is death. Blood is spilt. As a result of that sacrifice, in Adam's case and Eve's case, clothes are made and the sin is covered up. Many more sacrifices would come to cover up sin. Until this one that John's talking about comes. And he doesn't just cover up sin, he deals with it so as it's covered up and gone forever. Now that is something to be ready for. And the people heard the message. That's the point of Mark's gospel. You can have it. Verse 4, he's preaching the message and people believe it. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him and they confessed their sins. And he's promising so much more in verse 8. In this way, you'll be ready for the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized to be ready for this new experience of God, says John, and especially his forgiveness. John's baptism is a baptism of preparation to return to as much of the message as you can understand and stand ready and waiting for the forgiveness that is now in the world and waiting to be revealed to the world. And the big difference is that John proclaims that the Messiah is now here. You may now have this. And he's recorded as being proved right in everything else that we read. The Lord Jesus comes, 9 and 10. In 11, he's approved from heaven. And in 12, he is tempted and wins over all that we have failed. And 12 and 13, Jesus wins over all the things that have tempted man since the beginning of time. And we failed and failed and failed. That's women and boys and girls too. We failed and failed and failed. And then Jesus comes and is tempted in every way, yet without sin. And then having proved himself where we have failed, and even though John is in prison and the world seems to be rising up, Jesus walked beside the sea and called some followers and they came and they heard and they believed. And friends, that's the beginning of the church that you are part of today, if you're joining in with today. 2,000 years this movement has never been shaken. Pushed around a fair bit, hassled a fair bit, but never failed. Still serving the Lord Jesus. So will you? Are you ready to find out? Are you ready for this forgiveness? You can have it. But there are things that object. There are things that that get in the way. There are things that block the way. In Matthew's gospel, we read that some came out and didn't believe. Some came out and didn't follow. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing are addressed by John. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up his chaff, the chaff with unquenchable fire. Not everyone is ready to believe. The first question is this: will you go out and find out? Verse 5, the people went out. Mark makes no mention of those who physically go out, but didn't really go out to find out. They went out to shout out. They went out to put down. They went to watch, to abuse, to resist. They didn't really go, did they? All they could see was clouds on the horizon for them. Yeah, on a rainy day, it's not easy to see beyond the clouds, is it? We have to remember that the blue sky is behind there. We have to remember that after the rain comes the sunshine. What are the clouds that are keeping you from going and finding out? They did something else here. They listened. Will you listen? There's an awful lot of proclamation in this. There's a message that needs to be heard. There's preaching, there's prophets. But it's not always easy to listen, is it? Can you imagine what it was like at the riverbank with the crowd? I don't imagine they were quiet. Ooh, that prickles when they sat on a thorn. Don't kick me. There would have been noise like that, distraction. What are the distractions today? Would you have been put off by John's clothes? Bit weird, really. Wild honey and locusts. You can get put off by what the preacher wears, I know. Don't. Don't get put off by the world's ideas. You won't find the answer in crystals and semi-precious stones. The Beatles used to say, love is all you need, and that's sort of become self-esteem these days. Self-love is all you need. You'll get put off by the world's funny ideas. All religions do not say the same thing. The cults do brainwash. Oh, friends, the world can be very loud at times. Will you concentrate and listen to what God has said in his word, the Bible? If you've never sat and read it, take a copy and read it. Your mind will be opened. Finally, too often we're too proud and we refuse to confess. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem, this is verse 5, went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized. The whole picture has a profound effect on the Israelites, such that Mark records they confessed their sins, something they would have done anyway, in a different way, something they were familiar with, the idea that they'd got wrong, things wrong before God and needed to put it right. But they came and they did it here like this new way. They realized the claims of John were true. They realized that God is almighty. You see that time and time again in the words that we've read. God is almighty. That means God is the captain general of legions of angels. It's a military sort of idea. He is mightier than we are. He has the right to rule. Will we stand proud before him? Or will we confess that we've got it wrong before him and we need his forgiveness? Are you ready for the joy of forgiveness, dear ones? Jesus is the Messiah, the long-promised forgiver of sins. Will you find out about him? Will you listen to what he has to say? Will you confess your sins to him and him as Lord? If you will, you will know freedom. You will know forgiveness. Are you ready for that? Father God in heaven, you are a kind and gracious and generous God. Despite our turning from you for these many years, your plan has been to see us saved. We thank you for all the promises, and we thank you for their fulfillment in Jesus. And we ask that you would accept our praise for the wonder of the church since his day. Those of the last generation of the church taught us and drew us to read your word as John challenged the people then. Let us hear you speak. And let us confess our sins, that you are Lord, our Saviour. And may we know your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.